today is the 7th March 1998. On previous 2 days, we talked about liberation of the mind from defilements. The topic is why we should practice vipassana meditation, insight meditation. We so-called a person, a being, is composed of both mentality and physicality, nama and rupa. So this is nama and rupa, mentality and physicality, divided into 5 aggregates. The Buddha teaches these 5 aggregates. Nama, mentality, consists of the 4 aggregates, namely Vedanakhana, the aggregate of a feeling or sensation; Sanyakhana, the aggregate of a perception; Sankarakhana, the aggregate of a mental formations; Vijnanakhana, the aggregate of a consciousness. These are the 4 aggregates, which are mental phenomena, nama. The physical phenomena is only 1 aggregate. It's called rupakhanda, aggregate of physical phenomena. In this way, there are 5 kinds of aggregates. 1, physical phenomena; the other, mental; 4, mental phenomena. Sometimes the omniscient Buddha gave it his discourse, summarizing these 5 aggregates as 2 kinds, 2 processes, nama and rupa, mental phenomenon and physical phenomena. So nama and rupa, mental phenomena and physical phenomena, must be thoroughly realized by a meditator, so that he can liberate his mind from all defilement. To realize nama, mentality is much more important than to realize a physical phenomena, rupa, because it's a nama, mind or mentality or mental state, that creates the world. Here the world means all living beings in the world. The Buddha said, Mano pupangama dhamma mano satta mano maya manasa jivda prasannena vastiva krodiva tadonam dukhamano iti jakkama vahadopadam. There the Buddha said, the mind is the leader. The mind is the dominant one. All things are made by the mind. So, when you do unwholesome deed, the because is unwholesome mentality, unwholesome mental state. The unwholesome mental state is called akusala in Pali. Akusala, wholesome mental state is called kusala. Unwholesome mind creates unwholesome speech and deed. Wholesome mind creates wholesome deed and speech. So, the original cause of good deed and good speech is wholesome mind. The original cause of bad deed, bad speech, evil deed and evil speech is unwholesome mind. When the mind is unwholesome, the deed and speech becomes unwholesome, then it produces suffering. When the mind is wholesome, then deed and speech are also wholesome, then it produces happiness and peace. So the mind is the most important thing of all. Or the mind is much more important than the body. That's why when the Buddha said, he said, vimutta citta. He doesn't say vimutta kaya. Vimutta citta means liberated mind. Vimutta kaya, if we say vimutta kaya, it means liberated body. The Buddha never say liberated body, vimutta kaya. He always says vimutta citta, liberated mind. Why? Because when the mind is liberated from defilement and suffering, then the body also becomes liberated from suffering. As you know, when the Venerable Moggallana Venerable Moggallana has a liberated mind. His mind is completely liberated from defilement. Through the final stage of enlightenment, ahanship, but when he was about to pass away, he was killed by some robbers because of past karma. But the robbers thought the venerable one was dead, but actually the venerable one was not yet dead, because he entered into Plasma Pati, which protects his life against any killing. But he was beaten by the robbers to be a back of the ravishes and so on. But he doesn't feel, he doesn't feel any physical suffering, because his mind is liberated from defilement. He is not attached to his body. He sees unpleasant physical sensation as arising and passing away of mental, arising and passing away of a feeling or sensation, just as a natural process of a feeling or sensation. Then he was liberated from physical suffering too. Though his body is inflicted and injured by being beaten very hard, but he didn't feel painful sensation. He didn't feel suffering because his mind is liberated from all defilements, so he doesn't take his body or himself. He sees it as a changing phenomenon of a mental and physical phenomena. Then he was liberated to physical suffering too. Unless he is liberated from his mind is liberated from defilement, he will suffer a great deal. He will feel the painful sensation a great deal. But now his mind was liberated from all defilements, so he doesn't take any mental phenomena or physical phenomena to be a person or a self or a being, a monk or a man. What he really sees is the ever-changing phenomena of a mental and physical phenomena. So he's not attached to the body. Then he is liberated from physical suffering. That's why the Buddha said the mind should be liberated from defilements. When the mind is liberated from defilements, then you didn't suffer both physical and mental you didn't have, do not have both the physical suffering and mental suffering. That's why the Buddha teaches us to train our mind to see things as they really are, they naturally are, by means of a mindfulness meditation. So that is why we have to practice the Vipassana meditation, insight meditation, so that we can liberate our mind from defilements. Then how can we liberate our mind from defilements and suffering? One day, Venerable Sariputta went to the Buddha and asked the omniscient Buddha a question. Venerable Sir, a great man, thus people speak. How far is a great man? How far is the one a great man? The Buddha said, Sariputta, with the mind liberated, is one a great man? One a great man. With the mind not liberated, is a one not a great man. So here, the Buddha said, a great man means a Mahapurusa in Pali. Maha is a great or noble. Purusa is a man. So Mahapurusa means a great man. In scriptures, this, the word Mahapurusa refers to the would-be Buddha. Sometimes, in some cases, Mahapurusa refers to the nobleman. Here, in this discourse, Mahapurusa refers to an arahant. Maha is a great, Purusa is a man. And here the Buddha said, Sariputta, when a man's mind is liberated from defilements, he is a great man. When a man's mind is not liberated from defilements, he is not a great man. So, yeah, with the mind liberated means vimutta citta in Pali. Vimutta means liberated. Chaita means mind. Then the Buddha continued to explain, how can mind be liberated? Sariputta, in this case, a bhikkhu lives practicing contemplation on body as body, practicing contemplation on feeling as feeling, contemplation on consciousness as consciousness, or contemplation of mind as mind, contemplation on phenomenon as a phenomenon. Ardent clearly comprehending mindful. In this way, having abundant covetousness and grief in the world. In this way, the mind can be liberated from. Thus, he lives practicing contemplation on the body as body, contemplation on the feeling as feeling, contemplation as the mind as on mind as mind, contemplation on phenomenon as phenomena. Then, because of he practiced this contemplation of body, feeling, mind, and phenomena, so his mind becomes detached from everything. Then it's liberated from all kinds of asava here refers to mental defilements. In this way, mind is liberated from asava defilement. Then he is a great man with liberated mind. If a man does not practice contemplation on body, feeling, mind, and phenomena, his mind won't be liberated from defilements, then he won't be a great man. Here the Buddha says, to liberate one's mind, one should practice contemplation on body as body, feeling as feeling, mind as mind, or consciousness as consciousness, and phenomena as a phenomena. Here the Buddha teaches the four foundations of mindfulness, or the four types of mindfulness. The mindfulness of a body, kayanupassana sutipatthana. Mindfulness of a feeling or sensation, vedananupassana sutipatthana. Mindfulness of a mind or consciousness, cittanupassana sutipatthana. Mindfulness of a phenomenon, dhammanupassana sutipatthana. The Buddha said, if he practices this mindfulness, the four kinds of mindfulness, then his mind will be detached from all everything. Then it will be liberated from all mental defilements. So, the mindfulness meditation, now you are practicing, is the way to be a great man with the mind liberated from defilements. So here, a great man refers to Arahan. But what we should be careful is here, the Buddha didn't say Vimuktakaya liberated body. He said Vimuktacitta liberated mind. So, to liberate the mind from defilement, the most important thing is to be mindful of, to be aware of any mental states that arises from moment to moment. So in the discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra, the Buddha teaches us in some detail the mindfulness of a consciousness. Saraga vachaitan, saragan chaitan dipachanati. Vidaragan vachaitan, vidaragan chaitan dipachanati. Here means when the mind is with lust, you should observe it as with lust. It means when you have in your mind lust arises at that moment, then you should know lusty, 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 greedy, greedy, desire, desire, and so on. Here the Buddha uses the word raga. The sense of a raga covers all the sense of lust, love, greed, desire, craving, attachment, and grasping. So when there is a desire in your mind, you should observe it as a desire, desire, desire. When greed arises, you should observe it as a greed, greed, greed. When there is attachment in your mind, you observe it as attachment, 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 and so on. All these are mental states. In Buddhist scriptures, sometimes all of these mental states, together with the mind, is used the word mind. Sometimes citta, use citta. So, the mental mentality is the most important thing to be aware of, to be mindful of in this world. Why? Because it's the mind that must be liberated from all kinds of defilements and suffering. Then again, sādhosaṁ vācchitāṁ sādhosaṁ caitāṁ dīpajānādi. When you have anger in your mind, you should observe it, anger, 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 as it is. Here also, dosa. The word dosa covers all the senses of anger, hatred, aversion, ill will. All these are called dosa. So, when you have anger in your mind, you should be mindful of it as noting anger, anger. When you have hatred, note hatred, hatred. When you have aversion, you observe it, aversion, aversion. When you have ill will, you observe ill will, ill will. All these are mental states, which are included in the word citta. So, citta nupasana, satipatthana, is the most important factor of the four types of mindfulness. But meditator does not, some of a meditator do not understand the importance of the mindfulness of awareness of the citta, consciousness of the mind. So they do not try to watch when there's any mental state arising. If a meditator is able to be mindful of or to be aware of any mental state arising at this moment, at that moment, then he is sure to liberate his mind from defilement while he is observing the mental states. That mental state is free from kilesa as a defilement. When he realizes the rising and passing away of that mental state, suppose anger, then he doesn't take the anger, he doesn't identify the anger with himself, with the person or being self or so. Because of what he realizes is just a mental state, which is anger. So here he comes to realize the impermanence of anger, and he comes to realize it, the impersonal nature of the anger, non-self nature of the anger, anatta. Then he won't be attached to the anger, or he won't be attached to his mind too, because he sees it as impermanence or arising and passing away. Then the Buddha continued to teach us Sankhitam wa chaitan, sankhitam chaitan di pachanadi. Vikhitam wa chaitan, vikhitam chaitan di pachanadi. That is the chapter on citta nupasana satipatthana, mindfulness of consciousness. Sankhitam chaitan, sankhitam chaitan di pachanadi. It means when your mind is distracted or wondering or thinking, you should observe it as it is, as distracting, distracting, wondering, wondering, thinking, thinking, imagining, imagining, and so on. Here, sankhita is not distracting. Sankhita chaita means sloth and tapa, and to reluctance and contemplative meditation. These are sankhita chaita, and laziness. Then you have to observe. If you have a laziness in your mind, observe it lazy. If your mind is a depression, not a depression. If your mind is a reluctant, not a reluctant, and so on. Whatever mental state arises must be observed as it is. This is the citta nupasana, to liberate the mind from defilements and suffering. Then again the Buddha said, vikhitam wa chaitan, vikhitam chaitan di pachanadi. Here the word vikhitam means dispersing, dissipating thought. So it covers all the senses of wondering, thinking, imagining, planning, seeing mental features, and so on. So when your mind is wandering, you observe it wandering. When your mind is thinking something, you note thinking. When your mind is planning observative pranayama, pranayama, and so on. Here, to observe or to note or to be mindful of wandering thoughts, thinking, mind, imagination is the most important factor to make progress in meditation. So whenever you have these thoughts, you should not fail to observe any thought as it is, making mental note, thinking, wondering, and so on. In this way, gradually, when thoughts are noted, thoughts are observed, thought becomes less and less. When thought becomes less and less, then concentration becomes better and better. When thoughts are not noted, concentration is not good. It becomes weak. Because when thoughts are noted, sometimes you are not aware of a thought which is going, wandering, thinking. You think you are observing rising, falling, or any object of a mentality, physicality. But actually, your mind is wandering, stillly, planning something, expecting something in the future, recollecting in the past, and so on. But you are not aware of it because you think your mind is with physical phenomena such as rising, falling, lifting, pushing, dropping, and so on. Why? Because you do not observe when the thought arises. So when you observe or when you are mindful of any thought that arises in the sitting as well as in the walking, you come to realize the true nature of that thought when your concentration is good enough. The thought is a mental state which is impermanent. It arises and then passes away. But sometimes you think thoughts keeps on going, keeps going on very long time. Actually, this is not only one thought. A series of a thought process rising and passing away one after another. That this is a thought process, not only one moment, one thought moment. The thought doesn't last even a millionth of a second. It arises and then instantly passes away. But after the previous thought has disappeared, another thought arises. Then it also passes away very instantly. Immediately it's a disappearance and then another thought arises and passes away. In this way, the process of a thought rising and passing away, but we are not able to discern this thought process. We think this is the only thought which is everlasting and keeps going on. Then we identify that thought with me or my, a personal being. It's I who thinks about. I am thinking about something. So in this way, thought is taken to be a person, a being itself. Then the wrong idea of that person or being gave rise to many different defilements such as greed, desire, hatred, anger, and so on. In this way, thought or the mind is not liberated from defilement because you do not observe it. When you observe it, you come to realize it. The thought as natural process of thought rising passing away one after another, then you won't identify this thought process with yourself or with me or mine, with the person or being, because you rightly understand this is the process of our mentality which are rising and passing away one after another. Then there we, you don't have any defilement in your mind because you are realizing or rightly understand the thought as it really is. It's a very interesting to watch the process when it arises. When our concentration is deep enough, we see thought process, one thought after another, arising, passing away, appearance and disappearance. Then if we see the impermanence of the thought, the suffering of being oppressed by instant and constant have any mental defilement in our mind. In this way, the mind is liberated from defilement. When our insight into the impermanent suffering, impermanent nature of the thought becomes mature, then we realize them. We experience one insight knowledge after another until we have attained the final stage of enlightened insight knowledge. After that, the mind changes into enlightenment. Then we attain the enlightenment. Magga Chitta or path knowledge, the enlightenment. That enlightenment eliminate some aspects of defilement. Then the mind liberated from some of defilement. In this way, one stage of enlightenment after another uproots these defilements. Eventually, the final stage of enlightenment, Radha Magga, uproots all mental defilements completely. Then the mind is completely liberated from defilements. That's why the Buddha said, when a man practices this mindfulness, meditation, contemplating on body as body, contemplating on feeling as feeling, contemplating on mind as mind, contemplating on phenomena as a phenomena, his mind becomes detached from everything and it becomes liberated from all mental defilements. Then he is a great man with a liberated mind. So I would like you not to fail to observe or to watch any mental states, good or bad, small or big, that arises in the sitting as well as in the walking, noting it attentively, energetically, and precisely. Then you are able to liberate your mind from defilements. Then you can be a great man with the mind liberated. May all of you be able to liberate your mind from all defilements and be a great man.